Moncrief on News Talk.
You're very welcome back. As always, we're joined by Joanna Fortune for our parenting slot. You can still send questions to 53106. We'd be delighted to hear from you. Joanna, how are you today?
I'm good, Tom. How are you? Bit of pressure in your house.
Lot of stress. It's day one of the Leaving Cert. We've had English Paper 1 and Home Economics.
Now, remember, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Pace yourself through this.
Tomorrow is Engineering and English Paper 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then I think it nearly kind of is semi kind of rolling up then, certainly in this house for the weekend. I think there's just Maths Paper 1 on Friday because she's not doing geography. Everyone else doing geography. And then you get a breather for the weekend, thank God.
And just remind them all of the work is done now. It's really important they take breaks. So the weekend should be a weekend. Make sure they get out, get air, get movement, take a break from the books as well.
I will do everything in my power to make sure that happens, Joanna. So we'll get stuck into our questions. The first one for you, this is a very timely one. God, I've been hearing a lot about issues like this of late. It sounds, I'm sure some listeners are going to find this kind of mind-boggling, to tell the truth, an eight-year-old who wants a skincare regime. My eight-year-old is asking for skincare. She has the most beautiful baby skin, but says all of her friends have a routine. Please help. I feel like I'm going crazy telling her washing it is enough. She's only eight and I don't want to be giving in to ridiculous beauty standards and demands. I have a feeling a lot of this is related to communion chatter, but I feel really uncomfortable that it has even come up as a topic of conversation. I have reassured her that she doesn't need anything and I'm only starting using creams once I was much older, but she's really pushing for something. Should I just give in and buy her something natural? She has a list of products that she wants to try, so I feel like she won't let up until she gets something. She is the oldest and I'm conscious that her sisters will then want something as well. So I feel like I need to delay things as long as possible. I understand being a girly girl, but surely eight is far too young to get started on something like this. I've heard stuff like
this, me too.
Preteens on TikTok.
It's a whole thing, and I think it started with
influencers.
Kids who were doing these kind of Sephora hauls and these big "look what I got" in their baskets. But honestly, Tom, eight is far too young for such a focus on something like this. And you know, this is it's a really good example of pester power. You know, pester power. The word "power" is in there because of how effective it is. That our children want something, and they want it, and it very quickly for them moves from something they want to something they need. And then if I need it, I'm entitled to have it. Everyone else has it. You get all of that layer coming into things. But you move from want to entitlement very, very quickly, unless as a parent you come in with your gentle yet firm boundary. That is to say, no, it is okay for this eight-year-old to want something. It is not up to that eight-year-old if they get it. It is up to their safe, trusted adult in charge who is going to ensure that the situation doesn't get out of control. And that's why we say no as parents. It's not like our children aren't going to thank us for that, Tom, you know that, but they do need to hear it from us. So I think she is too young. I think as a parent, this parent believes that as well. That's why they're writing in. And yes, you know, she will be disappointed. She might even be cross when you say no to her, but that's okay. It is okay for our children to be disappointed and cross and frustrated and to pout and even tantrum a bit because they didn't get what they want. It doesn't mean they should get it.
If you did give in, these things are very expensive too, aren't they?
Absolutely. And you're really, you know, the word routine is in here for a reason because it's not like those pots live forever. You're going to buy this really expensive creams and lotions and potions and they're going to run out and then you have to buy them again and again and again. The only people who benefit from eight-year-olds getting into a skincare routine is the beauty industry. And they don't need your daughter's commitment at this age. They really don't. But, you know, there's no harm. Like the best thing any of us, no matter how old we are, will do for our skin is to wear SPF and to do it regularly and to do that. So if you wanted to get her, like this parent's like, could I get her something natural? I'm not quite sure what that means, Tom, but in my head, what it means is a large pot of affordable, good moisturizer, you know, that you can get in a pharmacy. And then she has something that she can put moisturizer on her face. There's no harm in that. Encouraging her to wear SPF, not just for the summer, but in general. But the kind of skincare routine that these kids are talking about, absolutely not. It's crazy money, but it's also prematurely adultifying these kids. It's catapulting them forward into what is an adult industry, where these products were not created with children in mind. They were created for older skins, but they were also created for bigger wallets. So I would really hold firm on a boundary here for lots of reasons. Don't let her grow up too soon. And this is maybe this parent's first experience of real pester power. So it's also a bit of a test, you know, because it won't be long after this that everyone has something else that you've said you're not getting her. And all of a sudden, you've set a precedent that maybe she thinks she can wear you down.
Excellent stuff. So very clear boundary there. And if anyone listening is experiencing similar problems, do let us know. 5316 is the text number now. 4-year-old is extremely demanding. My child is crying and having tantrums after creche every day, demanding presents and to go places. She never wants to go home to relax or play. And she's all go all the time. She is 4. Home time is always a battle and can be very tough. As parents, we are exhausted and feel like nothing we can do to cater for her is enough. We are constantly on edge and find we are stuck managing tantrums and trying to live a peaceful life. She is great in creche and then very difficult at home with us. It's like she's pushing us to her limits all the time. I feel she's acting out and bored, but anything we do to help her burn off energy just doesn't seem to be enough. Have you any advice, please? So quiet in creche and then kind of driving them mad at home.
Do you know, that's not an unusual phenomenon though. Like a lot of parents would be like, oh, we're having these difficulties at home. And then the childcare setting would be like, gosh, we don't see any of that at all. You know, she's wonderful in here. And both can be true because children can, you know, it's a long day in childcare for many children. And by the time they've been separated from us parents for a long, long time in the day, they see us. And so when she comes back with you, you could get this surge in emotion. You know, I'm so relieved to see you, but I'm also cross that you left me and I'm tired from my long day and I've been following instructions and doing as I'm told all day. I'm hungry, thirsty, tired, I'm done. And that is absolutely over and above for a 4-year-old. That would be enough to result in tantrums, no question. I think though, Tom, transitions are hard for kids this age. Simply moving from one environment to another, such as from childcare, from creche to home, but also the transition from individual activities, moving from this to that, from indoors to outdoors, outdoors to indoors. They don't always handle that well. And I'm wondering how these parents are marking this point of reunification, this bit of coming back together. How are they marking it symbolically now? I don't mean by giving her a gift or anything, but could you have like a special handshake? You know, it could even just have two or three parts, a high five, a fist bump, and, you know, maybe a little kind of, you know, wrapping your fingers around each other. Three little hand actions, and it's your special handshake, and you do it at the point of separation when you say goodbye, and it's the first thing you do when you get back together. It just marks that reunification symbolically, and she knows we're back together. Then you might want to have her in the car and have a little playlist that's the song she likes, nursery rhymes, whatever it is. If there is a little cartoon or a movie she likes or a character, do those songs. Have those playing so that when she's in the car, it's okay, we did our handshake, we're going to listen to our music, and she can predict with a certain amount of certainty what's going to come next. That's very calming and soothing and regulating. And often our kids come home and you're like, they're tired, but they seem to be full of energy. And it's that phrase you often hear, tired but wired. You're like, how could she possibly need to run around and burn off energy? She's just had this really long day. But that might be the best thing you could do. So if you live somewhere that you have a garden, the first thing you do when you get home is straight out the garden, kick a ball, chasing, running around. Spend 15 minutes just playing with her outdoors, movement, air, and get back in then and begin that wind down for bed. If it's not suitable to get outside, if it's lashing rain, although I do argue, Tom, that kids benefit from jumping in puddles and splashing and playing in the rain, and it's good for us grown-ups too. But if you want to play indoors, don't be afraid of something that's a little bit physical, robust. Play a bit of The Floor is Lava, or, you know, something like Musical Statues, or Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes. A bit of kind of physical, active, rhythmic, movement-based play that should just release any residual tension she's holding in her little body and make that transition then into bed a little bit easier.
Great stuff. I saw a program on Scandinavia during the week, and in Finland they had their, I think they were 3 to 7 year olds out playing in the snow at school.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't bring them in unless it got to minus 30, which...
Which is quite the benchmark. I mean, we do it if it's as much as sprinkling rain here. It's actually, there's no bad weather for play. It's just about wrapping up and, you know, running outside in the rain can be a great reset. You know, it really can, especially for children. So don't let that put off. But basically, Tom, I think emotional connection is the best route to behavioural correction. So to correct her behaviour, go to ways that you're going to connect with her.
Great stuff. Thanks for that, Joanna. On to our next one now. And this is listener says, the son, her son is wetting the bed again. So my son is toilet trained and has been for 6 months. No accidents, even at night. However, since I had our second son 3 weeks ago, he's been wetting up to 4 times a day. Mm. I know it's a reaction to his new sibling, but it's a very difficult balance as my partner is back at work and I'm on my own. I get the sense it is for attention because obviously with a new baby, everything is different. I'm so tired and I really thought we'd come through this. Any advice, please?
Oh, I feel for everybody in this letter because, you know, 3 weeks after, you know, having a baby, you don't have it in the tank to be, you know, kind and understanding about all of this behavioural stuff you're seeing from your son. So while logically you can understand it, emotionally it can still be frustrating. So go easy on yourself with that. I think there's a lot of things going on. I don't know how old this little guy is, but he is trained. And I'm wondering, because you were pregnant at the time you were training him, was it an important thing for you to have him trained before the newborn arrived? You know, so timing wise that you'd have one in nappies. So just be aware. You know, he did it really well, though. 6 months, no accidents, even at night, which is pretty amazing, to be honest.
Brilliant.
With you, isn't it? It's really impressive.
Yeah.
So it is, to me, yes, this is regressed behavior in line with getting a new sibling. This little guy, though, Tom, is also seeing the new baby using nappies that he's not that long out of. You know, so he's watching you changing the new baby. The new baby's wearing nappies. There may well be this little part of him going, oh, I remember when you did that for me. And that could be triggering some of the regression that they're seeing. I'm wondering if getting him a little baby doll that could have a little baby doll nappy on it and he could be mirroring what mum is doing at home and changing baby, he can change. It could be a teddy, a dolly, it doesn't matter. But getting him a little baby doll just makes it very relatable to the baby beside him and letting him play alongside mum with that. I think certainly developmental regression, like this parent is saying, but I would always allow certainly up to 6 weeks, Tom, you know, for any behavioural regression around a life change like a new baby. And it's easy for us to sit here and say that, but they're only 3 weeks in. I would give him another few weeks at that and see will he adjust and then naturally just go back to where he was. If not, and certainly, you know what, even in the meantime, go back to basics in reestablishing the routine. Go back. I mean, you very successfully potty trained this child 6 months ago. Go back to what worked and positive reinforcement and reminding him, don't do the big kid language. I think that's a mistake that happens, especially when they're potty trained and now there's a new baby. You're the big boy now. Maybe he doesn't want to be. Maybe he really wants to be your baby. So don't do too much of that big kid language. Instead, say, I know you can do it and I'm so proud of you when you get to the toilet. Let's work on it together. This mom is at home with a new baby. These are long days when you're in the trenches in these first few weeks. If there is somebody else in the family or your support network, a friend who could knock in and give a hand, hold the baby while you spend some time with your older boy. Take your older boy out for a little walk, go to the park. A little bit of extra time for him could also support this.
Very good. I know this isn't related, but we got a young pup into the house, and now the older dog is starting to act like a young pup. He's bloody regressed as well, I tell you.
It's not honest dissimilar, see?
I think the young guy is seeing, you know, and thinking the good old days, you could lounge around in your nappy, you didn't need to make your way to a toilet or any of that kind of stuff.
But it's hard, but anyway. I mean, because this is a toddler, you can imagine, who's just potty trained. So let's assume, you know, 2.5, 3 years old, and his whole world has just changed. You know, he was, I had you all to myself, and now I have so little of you. Even as much as you can give him to him is going to be so little because of this baby. Oh, I need to get back to being a baby. That's how I'll get you back. That's what the association's going to be for him. So a little bit more distraction and just persevering with this, give it time.
Very good. On to our 7-year-old is becoming very jealous. This listener says, and by the way, listeners, 53106, if you've experienced similar issues and have some ways of dealing with them, let us know. Back to the 7-year-old. I have 2 boys, one aged 5 and the other aged 7. They've lots of cousins in a similar age bracket. They both get on well with each other and with their cousins. But my 7-year-old has become a very jealous child. And it's a really obvious trait that he has. I can no longer trust him alone with his younger brother. If another child has a toy he wants, he goes over and takes it on them and causes the other child to become upset, which he shows no remorse for. One time, they were both playing out in the garden with their cousins, and I noticed my 7-year-old go over and whisper something to my 5-year-old. My 5-year-old son went running into the garage, and I noticed he was gone for a long time, at least 20 minutes. So I went to look for him, and I found him bawling his eyes out in the corner. He told me that his brother said something really mean to him. When I confronted my 7-year-old, he lied to me about this, but the real reason for it was because my 5-year-old was getting on really well with his auntie earlier on in the day. When I leave them alone together, he would do something really mean to his younger brother, and I always find him upset because of this. I see him do it most with his brother. I'm afraid, though, that he will grow into a really jealous person when he's older and have a long-term effect on my 5-year-old if this keeps continuing. I don't know what's the best way to address him. Is this normal, and will he grow out of it?
I mean, I don't, you know, is it normal? I'm not going to say, oh, yes, this is what kids do, because this does sound like an over and above level. And will he grow out of it? You know, Tom, no, not on his own. He's not going to just wake up and say, gosh, I'm not going to do that again. He needs to be grown out of it, if that makes sense. He needs a parent who's going to guide him through this and hold that boundary that this isn't okay. Because I would also worry about the 5-year-old at the receiving end of all of that behaviour. It's just, you know, when this parent writes in and says, you know, the kids get on well with each other and their cousins, but the 7-year-old has become a very jealous child. I'm wondering since when, and was there a trigger? You know, what has changed in this child's life that suddenly this jealous behaviour is so apparent? Or was it always there to some extent and now it has amplified? Again, I'd be curious what might be going on. How are things in school? How are things with activities? Is there any life change? Now, from the perspective of a 7-year-old, that might be changes to childcare, that might be changes in his friend group. What has anything that could explain that he's feeling out of sorts somewhere else in his life and he's seeking control at home where he feels he can, which is to dominate the younger brother? But when a child is showing controlling behaviour, which I think this child is, I don't think it's just jealousy. I think there is controlling behaviour here. But when he is doing that, I'm always curious, what purpose is control serving for him? Where else in his life is he experiencing no control that he is exerting it so aggressively at home? And I think, like, we talk about jealousy, you know, with jealousy, Tom, it typically speaking now, jealousy is when we feel that someone or something is being taken away, something that's ours. With envy, it's more about we covet what someone else has. That could be a thing or a person. And envy can quite quickly become a highly toxic trait because it can bring that edge of nastiness and meanness. I can only be happy, not only if I have what you have, but if you don't have it. So it can be experienced. To be at the receiving end of an envious attack is very, very stressful and difficult. So do watch your 5-year-old. All of that said, I do think you have to, let's stick in the realm of jealousy for now and pull him aside, and not in a moment when he's in trouble, but when things are calmer, and try to normalize jealousy and what he's experiencing. You know, we all have these feelings sometimes when we're not happy to see someone else with something because we wish it was ours. Help him put words on how he's feeling, but moreover, try and find the fear that's behind it. So when you see your brother with your auntie, for example, what is it? What's the story you tell yourself? Is it that your auntie couldn't possibly love you both? That if she's with him, she does, because she can. Her heart is big enough for all of you, you know, and you talk about it like that, but acknowledging it with him. Try as best you can in a busy home to increase some one-to-one time with him, because he might benefit from those moments of just feeling really special when he has all of your focus. That doesn't have to be day-long activities. It can be something quite small. Little bursts of it are actually arguably be better. And it might be when the 5-year-old is doing something, you have an opportunity with him, or when you're doing grocery shopping, bring him with you and give him a little list to help you, or whatever it might be that you can embed into your routine to give him that one-to-one time. But, and this is a big but, be very clear with him that his behaviour towards his brother will not be tolerated. He is not allowed to treat his brother the way he is. You know, and I'm also thinking, Tom, if what I'm saying for this parent is triggering, look, maybe there is a trigger, maybe something is going on, or, you know, gosh, there's no trigger at all, we don't know where it's come from. He could benefit from some sessions of play therapy, play-based therapy. It would be a space that is all about him. He would have, you know, he'd be in a room with lots of play activities, props, miniatures, puppets, different bits and bobs that are in play therapy rooms. And he would be able to choose what he wants. He would be able to express himself. It would be a place that is about him and allow him to express, even symbolically through the play, whatever is going on, whatever dynamic he's struggling with its focus mostly by this letter on his brother. But it's all, you know, that's all well and good when you can contain it at home. What if that then spills into school? That would be also when you've got a problem with that. So I would try and get on top of this now.
Okay. The font of knowledge, as always, Joanna, thank you very much indeed.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.